Maybe those weren't the words you were hoping for on this Advent Sunday as we approach Christmas. Nothing says Merry Christmas like apocalyptic readings of the end of the world, signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, distress among the nations, confusion at the roar of the sea. Merry Christmas! And many of us arrive, I know, already feeling weighed down, either by the things that we're hearing in the news or the things that we're going through in our own lives. We pray and hope that these Sundays of Advent, with these familiar, for many of us anyway, familiar carols and songs, with their messages of comfort and peace and hope and joy and love, will minister to each of you in whatever you are facing. Advent is about Jesus. The fact that he came, the fact that he is coming back one day. The fact that he came is an undisputed fact. You won't find anyone with any sort of credibility arguing that Jesus did not live. The second, that Jesus is coming back, is a matter of trust. Trust for those who know Jesus, who have come to trust him through all the experiences in life of his faithfulness, of his presence with them, to trust that he, when he says, I am coming back, I will not leave you. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made. Both Jesus' coming in the past, the birth stories, and Jesus' coming in the future are stories that are so powerful, they are so memorable, that they are moving even for people who don't find it credible that Jesus was God. They move them, they cannot help but shape our imaginations and how we look at this world. There are other powerful stories, though, in this world. Other stories that are moving and inspiring. But unlike those other stories, Jesus provides us a context and a framework with dealing with life and this world. But the biggest difference is that Jesus doesn't remain in the past. Jesus doesn't remain locked in a story. And the power of a story is not simply in that it is moving or inspiring, but that Jesus himself comes and speaks to us as we reflect on the stories, as we tell them again. Jesus comes and visits us here today as we look towards the day when he will come once and for all visibly. In Advent, we pray the words of the carol, O come to us, descend to us, and be born in us today, Jesus. I hope you have heard the testimonies over the years in this congregation that there is nothing like knowing Jesus. There is nothing like passing through life knowing that Jesus walks beside you. There is nothing like knowing that this one who walks beside you now will be with you through all of your suffering and through your death. And in the end, you will see Jesus face to face. The sense that he returns gives me a feeling of hope. The story that God would come and live on earth among us, become one of us, gives me a feeling of hope. But Jesus Christ himself visits me. And when, as he sees fit, as in his own timing, when he comes, he renews a sense of hope within me. And as Cheryl tried to grapple with, hope doesn't really do it justice, what Jesus does. We might also say that Jesus comes and gives us a new sense of resolve, a new sense of energy, a new sense of strength, a new sense of optimism that we will carry on. Our hope is simply this. It is Jesus. We trust him. And Jesus said these words of comfort. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with the worries of this life. But if you were listening carefully, maybe some of you were thinking, you know, it would be a lot easier not to be weighed down with worry if you hadn't also just said that people are going to faint from fear and a foreboding about what is about to come. But we must let Jesus' words here be comfort, even though they sound intimidating. They're not meant to depress us. They're not meant to trap us in fear or despair. So maybe it would be a good time to remember that these gloomy passages in the Bible are always designed by Jesus to accomplish good in us. That there is, first of all, always a message of hope, even in the darkest messages of the prophets or of Jesus. The prophets, whether it's in their foresight or whether it is within some sort of divine vision, reflected on the worst times that have happened, that were happening, that are happening today. But still, the prophets sang out, "The Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever." Jeremiah sang these words and heard that song in the midst of his vision, even though what he could see was an entire nation of cities devastated and wiped out. Towns and cities becoming a wasteland without humans or animals, fields haunted only with wild and lonely creatures, streets empty and desolate, ruins. But we listen again. Jeremiah also saw hope and a light. He also saw that there would once more be heard mirth and gladness, singing in the streets, animals in the pastures. He looked a step back at the whole nation, and he saw justice and righteousness established not just in Israel, but over the whole world, established through what he called a branch from David. If the tree that he is referring to, having a branch, is the tree of God's appointed king in Israel, and the branch of David then is a king that is coming in that line, Jesus, a descendant of David. We believe Jeremiah was somehow from that distance looking ahead and seeing Jesus. Now, notice carefully what Jeremiah heard in the streets. He heard a voice. It wasn't a lot of voices, actually. He only mentions two specifically. Do you catch who it was? He heard the voice of the bridegroom. We know the bridegroom. As John's Gospel says, "I've heard the voice of the bridegroom. He is arriving." It is Jesus. Jeremiah saw someone with Jesus on the streets, his bride. We know the bride as well. John, in the book of Revelation, saw the church, the bride of Christ, being prepared to descend to earth again and to come and to be united with Jesus here on earth. These are the voices that Jeremiah heard celebrating on the renewed streets and the restored cities, Jesus and his church. Do you know Jesus' voice? Could you, like John the Baptist, say, "I've heard the voice of the bridegroom. My joy is complete"? Do you know Jesus' voice today that you might hear it in the hardest times of your life? How do we get accustomed to hearing Jesus' voice? Well, certainly here Sunday mornings, but also this gift of Gutenberg, having the scriptures in our own home, but also at any place and any time, the chance to pray to Jesus and to listen to what Jesus says to us. There are such horrific tragedies unfolding in our world, and many of you are facing real hardship. We need to hear the prophet's voice and vision of hope. "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made. We need to hear this, and we need to hear Jesus' voice. Like Jeremiah, Jesus also spoke of distress and confusion, of roaring and fear and anxiety, of being weighed down. But Jesus also said, stand up, lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing near. The kingdom of God is at hand. There is a message of hope, even in the darkest visions of our lives or of our world. Jesus is our light and our hope. And as we listen to these, we can remember that God's purpose and plan doesn't end with the destruction. It doesn't end with the desolation and the emptiness and the darkness. But God's purpose and plan ends with restoration and renewal and redemption. Jeremiah saw Jesus coming and he knew that the end of the story was not doom. What is the end? What is the goal? God's goal is our renewal. The renewal of the land. The renewal of the nations. We remember that as Jesus says these words, that he came to save the world because God loves it. And he loves his people. Jesus' words here ought to be taken in that context. And therefore, we do not give up on our world. We do not give up on one another or on people that we know in this world. We continue, we persist, we carry on in our work, in our prayer. And we know how this ends. And it ends well. Jesus said all these words to give us courage and comfort and hope and to change us for the better. Not to defeat us, not to crush us, but to help us. And so he says, be on your guard. Be alert at all times. Pray for strength. What is it that is the concern? That we might take our eyes off Jesus. That we might instead see the darkness. That we might instead see the emptiness and the desolation and destruction. Some of Christians even seem to cheer it on. But Jesus says, be on your guard and pray for strength. And one day you will stand before me. With Jesus, punishment and reward is not the focus. Because Jesus offers forgiveness to everyone who comes to him. It is not a question of having to fear showing up before Jesus. Although some might if they don't know him. Because if you come to him with an open heart and an open mind, Jesus forgives. So it is never a question of failing. It is never a question of punishment, of getting things wrong. What is at stake is simply this, that we know Jesus, that we walk with him, that we follow him. What is at stake further is our own transformation and renewal. Jesus says all these words always to help us carry on in allowing ourselves to be transformed into the image of Jesus, into the image of God. And Jesus doesn't add "or else" to any of these words. Jesus came to prepare for us a world of justice and righteousness, and his words are meant to touch our hearts and minds, to strengthen our resolve, to strengthen our hunger, our desire for a better world, our hunger and our desire to be better people, to be the people we were always meant to be, and our hunger and desire to see Jesus face to face ourselves. So we do not give up in trying to grow in love. We do not give up in allowing the fruit of the Spirit to grow in us. And we take Jesus' words as our comfort. Be on your guard. Be alert at all times. And pray for strength. And one day, you will stand before Jesus, to whom be all the glory now and forever. Amen.